And welcome back again. You're listening to The Magazine every Thursday from 2 to 4 on the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. And wow, Joseph and Greg, we've had so much fun today with these celebrities, these stars from the Phoenix Film Festival. And now there's still more
yes,
to come.
It's not over.
It's not over, even when you think it's over. And we're really excited to have writer, producer, actor of Lonely Boy, Alev Aden, in studio. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, absolutely. This is really exciting. Now, I have not seen the movie. I've read some of the write-ups. It sounds fantastic. I'm going to bring it over to Joseph, who did see the movie. Why don't you describe it?
Yes. You know, this is your character, Alev, in this film is a schizophrenic guy, right?
Yeah.
And I believe that he's a schizophrenic bachelor.
That's the tagline.
The tagline?
Yeah.
Right.
That we're using.
Right. And you are, and as I say in my review, a true triple threat.
Oh, thanks, man.
Great looking film, very poignant screenplay. And your performance in this is just remarkable, outstanding from the very first scene until the end.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And so tell us a little bit about a deeper synopsis than just the schizophrenic bachelor.
Well, let me just say, you know, I landed in Phoenix, and the first thing that I saw, I got an email, a Google alert about your article and what you wrote about the film. It's such high praise. So thank you very much for not only writing that and letting people know, you know, genuinely how you felt about the film, but also for having me here. So I just wanted to say that before I got into anything. But so the film is – so our tagline is The Romantic Misadventures of a Schizophrenic Bachelor. So that's a tagline that we're using for the film. But just to go into a deeper synopsis about it, it's about a schizophrenic guy in his late 20s, and he's going through the big city, and he's dealing with love and family and relationships, and he has these friends that are unseen by the rest of the world, and they sort of make things a little bit difficult for him. And he has this haziness about his past that he's been trying to search answers for his entire life, and so it's basically, you know, it tells that story in sort of these, you know, crystal. It's a backward. It's not really a linear sort of narrative. It's a little different, but yeah.
So how did you come up with this concept? I mean, it sounds very creative.
Right.
I love the tagline, and I bet you had a lot of fun writing this.
I hate writing.
Oh.
No, the writing process. Let me just qualify that. Let me just say I'm a writer. Out of frustration, because I wanted to act. I'm an actor first, and so I wrote the screenplay because I wanted to give myself a vehicle for my acting. So it was hell. It was gruesome. I mean, it was 2 years. It took me 2 years to write the screenplay, and it was really. The inspiration for the screenplay came from my mother was all right. So here's a little buzzkill moment, but we'll get past it. My mother was diagnosed with brain cancer, and the placement of her tumor was manifesting itself in these symptoms that are very similar to paranoid schizophrenics. So that's I got the idea from that about this kid, and I thought it would be very difficult for someone to just go through life if he had these sort of forces around him that were making things difficult for him, and a family that wanted the best for him, but he was sort of going against that too. And so he's an unfiltered and raw character, but yeah, so that's the inspiration for it.
It's a very emotionally loaded film, and as I say, you do a great job. Where do those emotions come from when you're in the moment and have those you know, outbursts where you're yelling at people who just aren't there, and just so it's so believable? Mm-hmm. Where does that come from?
You know, I my whole idea about acting, my approach to acting is very practical. I don't really like to look at it in terms of theory. I don't really build a lot of backstory for my character. I picture myself as one person in a specific place at a specific time. And as the human being that's playing the character, I am that guy right there at that time. So what I pull from is all practical. It's in the environment at the time. It's my either my scene partner, or it's not my, you know, if I don't have a scene partner, it's whatever I can use as my, you know, with regular tension or just natural sort of feelings at that moment is what I pull from. If that makes any sense. I mean, I don't really like to sort of theorize acting because I just don't believe that that's at all useful. So I view acting very practically. So it was just, I guess, frustration that I was able to pull or anger or, you know, this sort of volcanic ability that I was able to pull at that specific moment and that specific time when we were shooting that, you know, those specific scenes. So
I see that there's a lot of support from the community on Facebook and whatnot, that this film just really means a lot to people who are suffering with similar disorders, because it is there are fun moments in this film,
yeah.
But it's also a very deep film, and it ends on a very very deep tone,
yeah.
And you'd really do think about it for a while, and it really makes you feel, it really makes you think. So was that something that you thought about while you were writing it to you know, help out some people who may, you know, really need this to speak for them?
When I was writing it, it was I wrote it to help myself. I was dealing with a lot of stuff with my mother, and so I had a lot of issues, and this was sort of an outlet for that. And I think because it came from a very true and honest place, I think that people now are able to see the finished product and really able to honestly and truthfully connect to it, because it's really it, in the end, it's a film about, you know, the fact that it's so much easier to go through life with the help of your loved ones than it is to go out alone. And that's really, you know, if I'm going to boil this thing down to one sort of theme or subtext or whatever it is, that's the idea behind the film. And I think that that's such a universal idea, and anybody can connect to that. I mean, that's not, you know, that's nothing new. But I think the reason it comes from such a truthful place for me personally, I'm so, so happy to see other people that watch it can also connect to it truthfully, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, like you said, you wrote this so you could be acting in this,
sure,
this particular production. Now, if you were not acting in it,
mm-hmm,
would it have come out different? If you knew there was another actor that you were just going to be the writer, for example, do
right,
you think it would have come out different? Or did you have that such an intimate personal experience knowing, mm-hmm, you're going to be acting?
Yeah.
Did that affect your writing?
Yeah, I mean, I never wrote with the intent to, you know, maybe either sell it or have it optioned by, you know, either a mini production company or a major production company or a studio or something like that. That wasn't really ever the goal, mm-hmm, with it. The goal was always to play this guy. But, you know, if Hollywood, you know, we used to always say, you know, while we were developing the movie, if Hollywood was making this movie, I mean, like, Jake Gyllenhaal would play this part, you know? And so I would have to imagine that it would be a very different movie.
Yeah.
I'm not that guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I wrote to my strengths. I know what I'm, mm-hmm, I know what I'm able to do. I also believe that actors can't play everything, you know? I think that you have to sort of know yourself as an actor, what your cast ability is, you know, what your casting is, so to speak, who you are, and who you're able to play, and this is the type of guy that I think I'm able to play, and so.
Right. Well, and are you participating in any of the workshops? I thought I saw your name at the festival this year.
Yes. So I'm doing participating in the educational outreach program, which is, I believe, tomorrow. And then I'm also a part of the screenwriters panel, ironically, even though I hate screenwriting. But so I'm a part of the I'm a part of that panel, I think, with like four or five of the other filmmakers. And that's between 1 and 2 on Saturday. You know, I'm looking forward to it. I think that you don't really see too many writer actors. Mm-hmm. You see a lot of writer directors, and so I think that if anything, I can sort of bring a fresh perspective to this, then, you know, because I don't think anybody else on that list is a writer actor. So
right. Well, let me ask you this. This, yeah, is interesting to me. Is, you know, like you said, you're a writer actor, also the producer,
right?
One of the producers. Now, since you're the writer and the actor,
mm-hmm,
and you had to have a director,
sure,
there too. Any conflict there? Like, hey, you knew what you wrote. You know how you wanted to act it.
Right.
So how do you get along with the director in that case? Are you on the same page?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you interviewed them. And
right,
did you select them based on what you thought they would see your vision on this?
So the director, Dale Fabregar, He's an amazing a director. He's an amazing visual storyteller, and he's also an actor's director. And I got, you know, in very early on, he read like an early draft of the script, and so he was when I was rewriting for about a year, he was involved in that intimately. We used to speak every day. Mm-hmm. So he when it came down when it came to okay, now we're shooting, we're on set. There was never a moment where I questioned. He always gave me my chance to do my take. Mm. And I always, and whatever notes he had as a director, I always gave him what he wanted. So, but that's the way you make a film. I mean, in a film, in the editing room, you want options. What works, what I found, were the takes that I loved on set were not the takes that I loved in the editing room. So now, looking back on it, thank God I did that. Thank God I gave Dale his takes, because most of the time he was right, you know. And I think that that's sort of the mark of a good director is to know, you know. And also, as an actor, you have to be able to be malleable, you know, to take the note and then actually execute that note. But in the editing room, options are so incredibly important, because you don't want to be married to, you know, something. If it doesn't work, then you're sort of out of luck.
But that's a great credit to you as a person, actor, and a writer, and the producer, that you had that flexibility, and you didn't get locked in to a certain vision, but you were open enough to see, hey, maybe there's something else that might work.
Right, and that sort of, you know, just to bring this thing full circle, that sort of is the reason why I view acting so practically, is because, you know. In that moment, in that time, you know, I don't really approach a scene or something that we're doing on that day and say, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do. I have a very comfortable grasp on the material, and then I'll get in the scene. And when you're in a chair, or you're in a room in Frankie's living room, or, you know, or I'm in that restaurant, there are so many exterior elements that are just working that are working around you, that you have to be able to adapt to all that. And so that's why, you know, if Dale sees something that he thinks is going to work, and is going to work visually, and is going to help the narrative and the story, then you have to give your director the take, you know? Yeah. I mean, that's just selfish if you don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And thank God we did that. Yeah.
Well, I'm interested, since you know, that one of the things that makes this film so wonderful is that there are scenes where, as you mentioned, there are people sitting around a table, and then you pan back and those people are gone. And you're interacting with essentially nobody because of the disorder. Did you film those scenes twice with people sitting at the table and with people not sitting at the table? And how did that work?
That was one. That's one move.
Really?
Yeah, it's a sort of gag. It's a trick shot, you know. Yeah. But so the camera sort of dollies in, and we're close on Frankie, and then when we dolly out, they're not there. So they were pulled out.
Really?
Yeah, and so that's also a huge, tremendous acting challenge. Just because, like, you know, they're there and you're interacting with them, and then all of a sudden they're not. And so, I mean, that was one.
That's what made it so it was heartbreaking, and it was just so compelling as I was watching, and that's why this is one of the four best films at the Phoenix Film Festival.
Oh, thanks, man.
Lonely Boy, and it is you know, because it's such an emotional film.
Right,
it sends you really on an emotional roller coaster ride. And let me give the screening time so that people can go out and see this.
Sure, yeah.
4:40 p.m. on Friday, April 5th. That's tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then 9 a.m. Saturday, April 6th. And 11:45 a.m. on Sunday, April 7th.
Yes, sir.
Have you guys been to other festivals yet?
We had our world premiere at the Cinequest Film Festival in San Jose. I'll tell you guys a funny story. During our world premiere, a fire alarm went off, and they had to evacuate the theater. Oh. 1,500 people were in the streets of fire trucks, But after about 30 minutes, everybody came back in, and we had like a 45-minute Q&A afterwards. It was while it was happening, it was devastating, and it was horrific, obviously. But afterwards, we look back on it, and it's such a special sort of experience. But yeah, so that was our world premiere at Cinequest in March in San Jose. And then this month we have five festivals. We're here at Phoenix, and at the same time, they're screening our movie in Palm Beach at the Palm Beach International Film Festival. And so Troy, our producer, he's flying down there on Saturday and then coming back the same day.
Wow.
And then we're at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Film Festival, and then we're at the inaugural Louisiana International Film Festival, and then at the end of the month we're at the Independent Film Festival Boston.
Well, we're so glad that you came here to Phoenix
instead of Palm Beach. Yeah.
So will people will you be at each of the three screenings for Q&As?
Or? Yes. We'll all be there. Our director is flying into town tomorrow, and so we're there to not only have the Q&As but to meet people that that saw the film. And so, yeah, we're here. We travel pretty deep, so we're all here.
Well, we really appreciate you coming in studio. I love Aiden, Lonely Boy, writer, producer, actor. I can't wait to see it. We encourage everyone to get out there again. Screening 4:40 p.m. tomorrow, Friday, April 5th, 9 a.m. Saturday, April 6th, 11:45 a.m. Sunday, April 7th. Thank you so much. We'd love to have you on again. This has been most fascinating, and good luck.
Thank you very much. Thank you, guys. And thank you, Joseph.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Much deserving.
Thank you.
All right, and let's take a quick break, and we'll wrap up the rest of the show with the magazine after these words.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing ServiceMaster Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know ServiceMaster Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's ServiceMaster Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for ServiceMaster Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches. 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale,
material. We know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
At Beer and Bomb and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
And welcome back again. You're listening to The Magazine, heard here every Thursday, 2 to 4, in the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. And I'm Dave Isaac, along with Greg Isaac and Joseph Erdo. And this was a fantastic 2 hours. I really enjoyed each one of them. The story of Luke, Alonzo Mayo, Favor, Paul Osborne, and Blaine Weaver. Weren't they funny?
Yeah, they Absolutely. Were very funny.
And
yeah.
Putzel, Jason Shagat. Yeah, you
yes.
thought I wasn't going to say it, like Shay it.
And
Allegra Cohen, of course, a very delightful woman.
Yes, and if you didn't have the webcam on, you know, you're missing because she's very cute.
Yeah, very, very pretty Absolutely. Lady. And Lonely Boy with Alev Aiden in studio. They were all, you know, I just love their passion for what they do. That's what the world is missing often, where people just go to work and they go, oh, I got to go to work, and they don't like it, and they can't wait till they retire. These people are full of passion, loving what they do, and they never want to retire.
Right, yeah.
This is good stuff, Greg.
Absolutely. No, it was a great show and a lot of fun having everyone in and hearing about these four great films. And, you know, Joseph, of course, already seen them and big yeah. fan of all four of them. And I'm looking forward to seeing them as well.
Oh, yes. Excellent.
Yeah, there's I think, 140 films that Chris Lamont told us last week that they have yeah. at the Phoenix Film Festival. Again, starting today, going through next Thursday, April 11th, at Harkin Scottsdale 101. But 140 films, 10 of them are the feature competition. Those are the ones that I judged, and these were, above and beyond the other six. Terrific, terrific films. Let's name them off again. The Story of Luke, wonderful film. Favor, very intense, thrilling. Putzel, a lot of fun, funny, heartwarming, and Lonely Boy, a very emotional and deep film that all these films, I think, will change your, you know, not change your life, but, you know, they will
could
make
change your life.
They could. Some of them could. I will say that definitely The Story of Luke changed my perception of a certain things in my own life and kind of made me think a little more optimistically.
Very, very cool. And, of course, Scottsdale Harkins 101, get out there starting. Are there films played today or just starting tomorrow?
There's one tonight is the yeah. opening night film.
Okay.
And there's a big party as well, and you can go and pick up your passes. The ticket uh-huh. office is open. And then tomorrow morning all the films start. And then there's industry night tomorrow where you can meet and mingle with everyone and, you know, all throughout the week.
Wow, this is so exciting. This is one of my favorite shows thus far on the entertainment, the magazine. No
yes.
question about it. Well, Joseph Erdo, thank you so much. You put this whole thing together. We really appreciate you. What do you say to Joseph Gray?
Thank you. No, it was phenomenal. Great work.
It was
phenomenal.
It was worth it. This was the highlight of my year so far.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. And again, thank you to all the people from the Phoenix Film Festival. We'll be on again next Thursday for more surprises, more movie review. And stay tuned tomorrow, Breakthrough Sports. Have a great night.